Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise your holy name. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can praise you for every day, Lord, that we spend here on earth. Lord, because if you are with us, you make all the difference. You guide us with your Holy Spirit. And you, Lord, bring us into truth and freedom. Lord, we just ask you that today, as we go to your word, you open our minds and our hearts. Lord, enable us to grasp, Lord, with our understanding, Lord, the things that we need to know and put to work in our lives. Lord, that we may be not tossed around with every wind of doctrine, but we may stand firm. Firm on your word, firm, Lord, in the place that we should be to be able to receive from you. We thank and praise you, Lord, for that in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I'm going to continue on what we've been talking about. Really, looking into, you know, the factors, the element that brings us to the place in which we can receive God's promises. See, God's desire, we had to really believe that, is for us to have a good life down here, not just up there. He said, you know, 3 John 2, you know, I wish that you, you know, prosper and be well, you know, in everything, in health, you know, health, and as our soul prosper. So we have to understand that the prospering of our soul is the critical element in this. And our soul involves everything that we, you know, have inside ourselves. Our thinking, our emotions, our will, our heart. All those parts that to be cleaned up so that we have the right thinking to start with. If we don't think right, you get messed up. Okay? So we have to learn to think right. When we start thinking right, all the other things with time are going to improve. But sometimes it's difficult to think right because we have been immersed in the world that think wrong. And because by osmosis, we acquire those patterns and we end up doing the wrong thing. Okay? But, you know, God has given us His Word. We have to understand how critical, how important is that thing that the Word is. If we really listen to the Holy Spirit, as soon as we are born again and we are not, you know, too influenced by the world, one of the first things that should happen, we should be thirsty to go to the Word and to read it and to study it. I remember when, you know, nobody told me that when I was born again. Nobody brought me to the Lord. But once the Lord brought me, you know, touched me, the first things I did was go to go buy myself a Bible. I didn't have a Bible. And I, you know, I can say at the beginning I read and understood nothing. But I know that that was the place in which I would get what I needed. Because the Bible is God speaking to us. Speaking to you personally. The thing is, we don't understand the way He is going to use the Word to speak to us. Because if you understand it, then we are going to start using it the right way. But you can see people even that are trained for the ministry, sometimes don't understand it either. Because otherwise they wouldn't do and make those decisions that they make. See, one of the things that the Bible has to do is to give us direction. But it's not because we are going according to the Old Testament way, trying to do all the laws and the things, is because it's inside us, guiding us with the Holy Spirit that makes it alive. Okay? and correct us and direct us and help us to see things. And when, you know, when we see God's statement, promises, or warnings, we had to learn to look at them and use them as guidelines for what we can expect in our life, both blessings and curses, because this is the established principles or laws in which the whole world, all reality, physical reality exists, and spiritual reality. The spiritual and physical dimension, because the two are strongly connected. We don't often see that connection because it's not a rigid thing. It's flexible, it's elastic, it's not immediate. See, easy, the same thing as healing. It doesn't need necessarily to be evident in the physical immediately because the transference from one to the dimension to the other is takes time. You know, involves a process. And we are not completely aware of all the detail, but we don't need to be aware. Now, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, really things are working practically the same way because God doesn't change. And we saw last week how God was working in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. I mean, he had promised them to go get, you know, get out of Egypt, you know, bring you in the promised land. Everything, you know, everything was prepared for them. And they didn't get in. They lost the train. They lost the ability to get in completely because they did not trust what he said. And because they did not trust what he said and they were caught up by the situations around them, they were there complaining because it wasn't happening what they think it would happen instead of really listening and getting direction. And when God was trying to talk to them personally to direct them so that they would know, they said, no, don't talk to us. I mean, we are scared. You know, talk to Moses. You cannot go by what somebody else tells you. Because they're in there and there is not you and you are different. Each person is different. That's why now is completely different because it's in a way, because now we have something that they did not have. We have the Holy Spirit. Okay? That makes enormous difference. Okay? They miss the boat because of the ignorance that they had. The lack of the hardness of their heart. That's what we read last week. Okay, the hardness of the heart comes when we don't listen to what God is saying. And he keeps speaking for a while, but after a while, we get callous in our ears. And doesn't work anymore. And so we don't need anymore. And we so end up doing the things that we think are right and they aren't. And we have the wrong attitude. And we are not in the place to receive anymore what God said we were going to get in the positive, but we are going to get all the things in the negative. Because we don't need any faith for that. They are just naturally to us because we are in the position or in the place to receive them. See, we have to be in the place to receive the blessing, to receive the blessings. When we are in the place to receive the curses, we are going to receive the curses. And we don't come blame God, you know, we should blame ourselves. Understanding that we have a choice and God said it very clearly in the Old Testament. Okay? Today I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your children shall prosper. See, in that way, but you know, if you don't have inner direction, like they didn't, most of them anyway. It's very difficult, and the Old Testament failed, if you want to put it from that point of view. Okay, it didn't fail, but it didn't help them very much because it wasn't producing the result that really God wanted to achieve, which was essentially for people to connect with him personally. Okay. Jesus said to come to show how to connect with God personally. I'm going to really change that word, even connect with God, because we have to understand something about that connection, that relationship. Okay, but in the New Testament, essentially, the difference is that we have the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is make the Word alive inside us, speak to us, so that we can, in a personal way, see, that's what Jesus said when he was leaving. Okay? He made in such a way that becomes easy or easier for us to receive God's promises. We saw that one of the conditions in the Old Testament was to be obedient and to love the Lord, because that was the key, to love the Lord more than other things, so that we are obedient to the laws that he gave in the Old Testament. You know, but to love the Lord like that, you know, without any other things, is depending completely on you. In the New Testament, we have, you know, much better situation. We have a situation in which we can connect with him because he gave us the Holy Spirit inside us, talking to us. We don't need somebody telling us things from the outside. You know, there is somebody telling us things from the inside, if we learn to listen. Okay? And to open that door of communication, we have to be born again. Okay? So, and Jesus said it very clearly in John chapter 16, verse 7. Says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, to your advantage. I mean, that gives us an advantage with respect to everybody before. An advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send it to you. See, a born-again believer are the Holy Spirit inside them. Okay? And the fact that it's inside them is not enough. I want to say that again. The fact that you got the Holy Spirit inside is not enough. You have to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm not talking about connection. I'm talking about fellowship. There is a big difference. This is, you know, it makes an indication of a choice that we make. A fellowship is somebody that two people are together. They connect with each other and are always available to one another. That's what called fellowship. We are really rubbing shoulders, being together, operating the same, you know, in accordance, helping one another. Now, he doesn't need much help. We sure do. Okay? So, that's the thing. So, you see, we had to have, he's a gentleman. He's private. He's a bit shy, in a way. Okay? You can expect, he's a dove. That's why the implication, you know, he does not invade your privacy. If you want to close the door, he stays out. So, but if we open the door, you know, Revelation chapter 3, Jesus knocking at the door, you know, essentially is the Spirit of Christ that comes in us and wants to take over, to help us in all the different areas. Okay? But we had to open the door. We had to have a fellowship by choice because, you know, our time, our attention is taken by all the different things that we can see in the physical. And we had to make time, make not just time, quality time with him. See, our relationship with the Holy Spirit must be better than the relationship we have with the world around us. Because the world around us is noisy, the Holy Spirit is quiet. Are you following me? So, unless we spend quality time and we learn to walk together and we learn to, you know, operate there, knowing that he's there all the time and being aware of his presence, of his nudging, or his quiet talking to us whenever we go, whenever we do things, then we are going to miss it. And when we miss it too much time, we lose sensitivity. We become hardened in our heart because the heart does not respond anymore to the nudging or the you know, calling of attention to the Holy Spirit. So we had to be there developing that attention. And when that happens, what John 16:13 says, then becomes a reality for us. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, okay, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will tell you of things, show you things to come. You see, the fact is, number one, is what the information that he's going to give you is the truth. So what you have to expect when you get something from the Holy Spirit, that is the truth. You are not there questioning it, but you should be examining it. Because you can get information even from other sources. So you have to have a way to discern, to separate where it's coming from. And the way is very simple to do that. See, things are not complicated with God. We make it difficult. We make it, you know, difficult to implement. Okay. Religion makes it impossible to implement. Okay. What has to happen is that we have to know how to check out what we get. And there is only one way. Because he is the Spirit of truth. He's going to tell us only the truth. Okay? And the truth is in the Word. So we have to check what we're getting. That's the lineup with the Word. As simple as that. God cannot contradict himself, cannot tell you something today and something opposite tomorrow. See, lots of people say, oh, the Lord told me this today. Did you ask me, oh, no, today I have to do these other things that are completely opposite. I mean, there is some discrepancy there in the thinking. God doesn't change like that. Gives you always the same direction. Give always the direction that lines up with the Word, and he doesn't change his mind. Now, he's going to guide you. So, you know, the objective of the Holy Spirit is to guide you in your step, to help you to make the decision that you have to make, practical decision, small decision, big decision, you know, but some decisions are really immaterial anyway. So it's silly to become so spiritual that you ask, what kind of ice cream do I have to eat today? That's retardation. Spiritual retardation. Okay. God couldn't care less. What do you like? Have it. The thing is, don't have too much of it, because otherwise you mess yourself up. All right? So that's not the issue. There are the things that are important. There are consequential things that the difficult decision that people cannot make on their own. Those are the things that the Holy Spirit want to deal with. And the things that you like and you can do, it is fine. It doesn't matter. Things that don't matter. Okay? Don't make it difficult for yourself. But it's going to show you the things to come that's going to help you to make those decisions so that you make the right decision instead of making the wrong decision. And it's going to bring you the truth. So, and that truth that you are going to be able to see is going to increase. Because the more you understand, the more you are able to do, and the more you're going to be able to understand. It's a build up. See, information that we get, the understanding that we get grows with our experience. That's why it's gnosko, is actually, you know, experiential knowledge that we get from following the Holy Spirit, because, you know, this is the way it works, give us wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know what to do with the things that we have to do practically, so that we don't waste time doing things that are useless. Okay. But he gives us specific, personal information relevant to our situation so that we can take steps that are productive instead of wasting our time in doing things that are useless, instead of messing our life. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is critical in our walk. That fellowship that I was talking about before, more than just connection. You know, a connection is not a connection like your phone connection. You know, you put turn it on and turn it off when you fall. No, it's always going on. And it's bi-directional. You know, goes on both directions. You talk to him, he talks to you. He talks to you, you ask questions. If you don't understand, ask. It shall be given. If you, oh, that was a big revelation. What was, I don't know. That was not a big revelation. That was just a, you know, waste of time. God speaks to us for practical reason. Not just to give you goosebumps or just to make you feel that you're so spiritual. Now, you know, the thing is just as we have fellowship with him, I'm talking fellowship. I'm talking this mutual ongoing connection of important. You see, the best time that you have in the day should be the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because any other interaction is not as significant, is not as important, is not as making a difference in your life. And when you start realizing that and experiencing that, that's the only thing you want to do. It's difficult to have fellowship with other things because that's the best. And but you come into that, it grows on you by experience. Okay? Now, when you start doing that, then what your walk is going to be like is going to be coming out of that relationship, naturally. Because this is, if he's directing you that way, that, you know, it may appear impossible to do in your own abilities, but God said that to you, and you, it worked before, is going to work again. And so you are going to take steps that sometimes other people around you, especially the one in the world, said you are crazy. But you know that they are crazy because you know you have the truth. Okay? So, and what happens is that things are going, the way we are going to move, the step we are going to take, they're going to just happen and produce life. Results, strength, put you in a better place than you were before. We're going to see that if you start understanding the way the Holy Spirit works, and I'm afraid that today I'm going to be able to cover that. Maybe you have to wait another week for that. But even when things appear on the surface that are really bad, you should be rejoicing. Because you know more than the things you can see that everybody can see. Because you know God's plan. And God's plan is a good plan. And He is in control of everything. When you start understanding that, no matter what's going on, you come up on top and not the bottom. That's what the word says. You have victory, not defeat. God is not defeated, and you are not going to be defeated if you walk with God. He cannot be defeated because He controls everything. Okay? And He can turn bad things into the best things. That's what the Bible says. But we have to believe it. Because if you don't believe it, what happens is actually we are not listening to the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we are rejecting what He says, and our ears are becoming calloused or our heart hardened. And unfortunately, that's the place we start from anyway. So we have to soften it up. Okay? In Romans chapter 1, 8, verse 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deed of the body, you will live." See, He's not talking about physical things here. Okay? He's talking about spiritual things. So He's talking about spiritual and physically die or living. You are going to be, you know, you are going to operate in a direction with the Holy Spirit working in you, and life is going to increase in you. Okay. But you had to do that, you had to put to death the deeds of the body. Okay. So that means you had to crucify the works of the flesh. Okay. This is not something that happens automatically, because the work of the flesh is what your body would do anyway. So you had to cut that thing off. And I'm not saying that you had to go there crucifying yourself or flagellating yourself like some people do that are religious. Or like some people think that we should be doing. You know, you cannot, you have to be poor, otherwise you cannot be spiritual. Or some other nonsense of that type. That's not, doesn't fit with the Bible at all. Okay. What the idea is that we have to understand that we consciously had to cut off the works of the flesh. That's what it means crucify. We don't allow those things to control us. When we feel like moving in that direction, we say, no, out, go. I don't going to do that. I refuse to get into that. Okay. For it says, for as many as they are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, that's one of the things that God wants to do in the old day, the new day, the end day times. He wants people to start walking the way He designed all the time. His design, His desire is for us to relate to Him. It's the way to be connected with Him in a close fellowship so that we hear Him and He hears us. I mean, both ways. And that means when you need something, He hears that. He knows that. But actually, He knows it before you even open your mouth. Sometimes, you know, you have to know what you ask, because otherwise you're going to do something else. Okay, so, you know, we have to formulate sometimes our ideas that are clear. God doesn't need to figure out things. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. I mean, we cannot put our peanut brain, you know, around that. But He knows everything about everybody, about everything, about everything. Anything in the past, anything in the future, everything, anything, 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 anything. So, you know, we had to, and He has a plan. He keeps things in order. He knows what to do, and he has a plan, and the plan is good, and we know all that. We should know all that and appreciate all that and want to be in the plan, because that's the best thing that can happen to us. Okay, so, you know, so what he wants to do is that we are led by the Spirit of God. Now give us the Spirit so that we can know his plan, that we can implement it. Okay, and when he says, when you're that, you're a son of God. Jesus was a son of God, the first beloved son. Okay, because he was connected with God, you know, had that personal relationship. He said, I do nothing except I see the Father doing. See, that's the connection I'm talking about. That's the fellowship I'm talking about. When you start walking, you start learning to walk that way, and it's possible for everybody, because God is doesn't have any difference for people. He's not discerning of people. He treats everybody the same, gives to everybody the same chances. You're going to see more of that. But the idea, he wants us to have that kind of relationship so that he can guide us all the time, so that we can be the sons of God too, and so that we can be operating like Jesus. When we learn to do that, we are going to be like Jesus. And in the end time, that's what this promise to come. That's what the whole nature is waiting for. We just had to get into the plan. We had just to understand what's going on, understand God's plan, understand his intention, and make that fellowship with him, so that we are going to start lining up ourselves and moving in that direction, learning by experience more and more to hear, to understand, and to do things beyond what we could do before. See, the fact is often we just, you know, I'm okay here. I don't know what happens tomorrow. And we are afraid for the future, of the future. We're afraid of change. We should want change all the time, and change according to God's way. Okay. It's always going to get better from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from a better place to a better place. Okay. So, work on the flesh. This fellowship is critical. It's not just a connection. It's a close relationship. It's a trusting one another. God wants to trust you to give you what you cannot even dream. But he cannot give you more than what he can give you at a certain place, because otherwise you may be able to mess it up. So he knows exactly what to do to take you at the next step. And he's there trying to communicate that to you to be able to enable you to do that. See, becoming a son of God is really God's desire for us. And he doesn't have, you see, says son of God doesn't say sons and daughter. Because in the spirit there is no gender. There is no any difference that is physical in the spirit. There is no gender. There is no color of the skin. There is no nationality. There is no difference between a Jew and a Gentile. There is no difference between somebody that is in a social status that is important and somebody that is not. There is no difference between somebody that is rich and somebody that is poor. There is no difference. Anything that has to do with the physical realm differences are just the things that the devil used to bring division in the body. That's what he does. He divides. And the kingdom divided cannot last. And today you can see that that is used in all the different areas. Now even women against men and men against women. That's ridiculous. So to the point that they try to be nothing. All right, okay. So to be a son of God, what the only thing you have to do is to crucify Don't try to get religious. That's the worst things you can do, because you're going to start to do things that are all so stupid that are going to mess up your walk. No, start just to simply destroy, crucify the works of the flesh by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing you have to do. And so that becomes just a step-by-step thing. It's not that there is something, oh, there is so much to do. You know, that's the enemy's idea they put in people. That, oh, no, no, you have to learn so much. You don't have to learn anything. It's not you that's going to make it. It's not that because you have to, it's not that you have to get a degree on something and you have to take, you know, the only thing you have to do is to listen to the Holy Spirit, and He's guiding you to the right places. He's making you the right step. You can relax and let it be your GPS. And you will find that the destination you want to be, that He wants you to be, without really knowing even where you were going to start with. Okay? Now you see, there is a difference. When somebody is born again, he's not a son of God. He's a child of God. Children have a characteristics. They are self-centered. And they don't know, they just want what the body wants. If they are angry, they can start crying and clinging. If they want a toy over the other kid's ass, they start putting up a tantrum and making a story. See, they are based by the things that they want, that they think they're good for them because their body wants them. That's not the way the sons of God work. The sons of God are people that supposedly, when they grow up, stop having tantrum because they don't get their toys. But sometimes some people never learn that. But the point is, you know, the idea is for us to grow so that we do not do those kind of things, and we start being stable in our position, and we are moving in the right direction, but under the direction of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, and so this is, when we are sons of God, what happens, we do what the Holy Spirit tells us. We get what God says we should be getting. That's the way we get the blessing. That's the way we get the promises. You know, we talk about the promises. You know, all the things that God says that we could get or should get, okay, we get them in the positive because we are obeying Him. And so we put ourselves in the position in which those things happen. God doesn't even need to intervene, because He already said what He needed to be said. He said at the beginning. Okay, so we don't need to worry. We just, need to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, and things will happen. Now, children don't understand that. I'm talking about new, born-again believers. There are many things that they don't understand how to have that relationship. You know, they go mostly by their emotions. And so they don't go by the Spirit. They're not connected by the Spirit. There is a big difference. Emotions are a component. And when the Holy Spirit is working on you, you have the right emotions. But emotions are unreliable because, you can really want something and get all excited, and it's really bad for you anyway. So you cannot go on that, okay? But the point is, you are going to see that sometimes even babies, Christians, they have not a clue, just out of the bottle, the milk bottle, they get things from God, blessings. And you wonder, why is that happening? You are not God. And you don't know really what's going on there. And God knows the difference between you and God, that you judge them from the outside. God judged them from the inside. He doesn't expect them to know things that they don't know. He knows what they don't know, and He judges them according that way. So if they, meet the little bit that they know, they're going to get results. It's the same thing with you. According to where you are, you're going to get results because you are implementing the things that you know. Are you listening to me? Okay? So if you are not getting what you want, that means there is something you're missing. And there are some changes, some twitching that has to be taking place there. All right? So the point is, what God expects is not absolute obedience. He expects relative obedience. The obedience about the things that you actually should know. What you don't know, he doesn't expect you to do it. And he just doesn't judge you according to that. But if there are some things that you should know, he's not going to move until you move. Are you following me? And then you wonder why. Well, it's very simple. He knows more than you do, and he knows more about yourself than you know, you yourself know. Okay? So, you know, what the problem then? Okay? That you are not walking in the Spirit. That you are not listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. That means that you are doing some works of the flesh that actually shouldn't be there. So how are we going to crucify the works of the flesh? It's not, I said, not by self-flagellation, not by feeling sorry for it, not by putting yourself down. God never puts you down. Even when you do something wrong, he doesn't put you down. He's not there, you know, judging you, but he's, you know, or condemning you. He's there judging you. And he says you should judge yourself too. Because if you judge yourself, that means, you know, you are aligning your thinking with his thinking. Then you see, well, that I did that was wrong. That's all I had to do. So I don't want that. I want to do what God wants me to. And what happens? You stop doing it because you line up with your word. And we are going to see this is what the word says. Okay. But the idea is that you had to learn to crucify the flesh. Okay. But you know, to crucify the flesh, you must know the work of the flesh. Because otherwise, what are you crucifying? Something you don't know? You don't see? Okay. And this is more complicated by the fact that when they talk about the work of the flesh, the work of the flesh is just the final result of the problem. The actual problem is what's going on inside you, in your heart, and the judgment that you have about the things that you are involved in or doing. And that you cannot see, and sometimes you don't know why you do the things you do, but you do them because you are unaware. So I did lots of teaching about conscious living, becoming aware, and that's part of it, you know, but sometimes you cannot be aware of what you don't know. Okay, so you have to learn to do things. But there are many things, okay, that are many things that we had to learn. But don't look at the many things that we had to learn because otherwise, it's overwhelming. Okay? And that's not the job. The job is connecting, is hearing, is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he is going to communicate to us, look what's going on. That shouldn't happen. The word doesn't say that. The word says that you should. That's what you should experience. Why aren't you experiencing it? And you say, oh, yeah. You can ignore it. Or you can say, okay, tell me. What's wrong? And he said, oh, I've been telling you for such a long time. It's lots of earwax that is to be removed. Spiritually, I mean. So what happens there is that, you know, we need to understand that the word is where he's going to be used to stick in front of us and say, oh, wait a minute, that's not quite lined up yet. And so we had to go to the Word. See, this is why the Word is so important, so critical to walk in the Spirit. Because if the Word is not implanted in us, strongly implanted in us, if we don't live in the Word, because when we live in the Word and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the whole two things together are going to produce sparks, are going to produce power, are going to produce revelation, are going to produce understanding. Okay? And, I think children in the Lord, and even grown-ups hopefully should understand that, okay, should realize the importance of the Word in their life and the time that they spend in the Word and the time that they use in the Word, meditating, having fellowship with the Word, because that is where the direction, we get the direction. You know, and in some, and there are so many scripture, and I'm just not going to even read them. I'm going just to mention to you to start where to start. But you know, in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you." That is really the critical explanation of why we had to so much want the Word in us. That I may not sin. That means, you know, that I may not go off in my thinking against the things that you think. Okay? So when we understand, that's so important. Okay? Hidden in my heart. That is not mean, you know, I keep it for myself. Nobody's going to see it. The hidden in a heart is like a treasure that you keep there, that you protect, that you want there. Okay, it's something that you love, value, stay with, meditate on. That's what produces the result. That's why you treasure it in your heart. Okay? You see, you search it, not just to try to pick it apart with your brain, but, you know, to ask the Holy Spirit for understanding, revelation, direction, wisdom, correction when it's needed. See, all these things are blessing that comes to you as you connect to the Word. Okay, because that's the direction that you need. That's the enablement that comes to you. See, and so, you know, God speaks through you, as I said at the beginning today, you know, through His Word. And you can take, you know, for people starting to see the importance of that, you know, for example, Proverbs 4:20-27, you know, tells it are things that you have to start meditating on it so that you that becomes really part of you. You know, my son, attend to my word, incline your ear to my say, you know, not let them depart from your eye, keep it in the midst of your heart, and so on and so on. All the scripture that come there up to verse, you know, from verse 20-27, you know, just memorize them and meditate on them. When you walk around, when you think, when you spend time, you know, people just ask God all this time. You don't have to ask very much. The only thing you have to do is to be open, and He's going to give you more than what you can handle. Okay. Another one is, for example, Psalm 1:1-3, you know. Don't associate it with messed up people, you know, but love the, you know, meditate on the word day and night, you know, and you will prosper in everything you do. Okay. But, you know, all Psalm 119, but I won't say one would start with Psalm 119 because it's long. The things I said before, you know, Proverbs 4:20-27 and Psalm 1:1-3, it's enough there to start moving in the understanding, the direction to start putting you the desire that you need to have to receive the word, to get direction. Now, the objective of that is that the word separates or identifies for you the work of the flesh. Okay? The things that you're thinking, but you see, the work of the flesh is just the exterior appearance. Believers don't work only on the exterior experience. By the time you have the work of the flesh, it's almost too late. Because you're already in it. You're already doing it. But you did it, you sinned much before. You sinned when you were thinking the wrong way. See, it's our thinking sin, not the action. That the action is just the result of the sin that happened before. Okay. So we have to understand, you know, that the works of the flesh, you know, once they are manifested, are easily identified. But we have to recognize how the direction is taking and where we are going to get. Now, you know, bottom line is this, and I am run out of time. Yeah. But I wanted to talk about temptation. Temptation is where the problem comes up, to try to make things according to the flesh, and the enemy comes because he doesn't want us to walk according to the Spirit. He doesn't want us to get the promises of God. He doesn't want us to be blessed. He wants us to get in the trouble, get in pain, get in problem, get in sick, getting everything wrong. Okay? And we have to understand how temptation come and how to overcome it. Now, generally, people talk about only, you know, what Jesus' temptations things. But there's much more there. And I cannot talk about that today. So if you want, you have to come next week or listen or listen to the recording, because, you know, that shows that there are two types of temptation. And there are completely different things that you have to do from one and the other. Not completely different. They line up the same because the same problem, but there are some considerations that are different. And we have to understand that, and I'm going to mark it up here so that I, as usual, cannot do. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for the things that we covered today. Do you get anything today? Yes. Okay. So it's important. I want to stress how important it is to connect with the Word. Because this is your reference, your baseline, from which you can work the other things. So let's pray together. That God give us the understanding and the wisdom. And the power, because all of that is in the Word, through the Holy Spirit. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit, that empowers us to walk with you, to walk in victory, to see the plans that you have for us materializing in our life. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, for making it possible for us to receive the Holy Spirit, to have Him with us, dwelling in us, guiding us, empowering us, helping us in every step of our life. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for the possibility that we have today to become the sons of God. And we ask you that you open our eyes to put the desire in us to have the Word living in us, guiding us, empowering us to overcome the way Jesus overcame. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your love, and your power. That is going to be manifested in our life if we obey your Word and the direction of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.